This is Dr. Betts. You're listening to Let's Talk. I'm excited. We are here with Kimberly Alexander, the executive director of Moms of Black Boys United.
Hey.
I feel like the earth shakes just saying that. Can I say it again?
Sure can.
The executive director of Moms of Black Boys United. Kimberly, it is a pleasure to have you here in the studio. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Thank you for all that you do. I don't know if I say I was a black boy and had a black mother and all of those beautiful things. So I know what it means, right? Mm-hmm. I know what it means. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Let's talk, man. You said we're going to get straight into it.
That's right.
Let's talk. Let's tell the listeners, who are you? How did you get here? What's the journey been like? What's the mission like?
So first of all, I want to qualify black boys because that is in our title, but you will always be your mother's boy.
That's right.
So we are fierce advocates and spokespeople for black boys and men of all ages, the continuum of the black man's life.
And my mother said that onto her deathbed that I will always be a beautiful baby boy.
Absolutely.
And we don't realize that, right? We're so quick to grow up sometimes.
That's right. That's right.
So how did you get to that space? I mean, tell us about your journey.
It's an interesting journey. So Moms of Black Boys United actually started by happenstance.
Okay.
July 7th, 2016, our founder, Depelsha Magruder, shout out to her.
Shout out to the founder.
Yes, absolutely. She was ignorant to mm-hmm. Facebook. And I emphasize that because it was in her ignorance that the beauty came from. She started a group after Philando Castile and Alton Sterling's murders because she was so dysregulated mm-hmm. by those events and the visuals that came with it mm-hmm. that she invited 30 friends to a Facebook group that she thought was private to them, but it was not, and went out for a walk and came back, and the group had grown exponentially to the tune of about 17,000 moms of black boys.
Really?
In a matter of hours. Wow. In a matter of about 3 months, I believe it was, we were at 177,000 moms of black boys in the group. I always say that there's a beauty and a curse to that.
Mm-hmm.
Because that means that those deaths and the treatment of black men and boys resonated with 177,000 women, such that we lived in a place of fear and constant dysregulation because we had birthed black sons.
Yeah.
The beauty in it is the group came together immediately mobilizing for change.
That's right.
Debunking the fallacy that black women can't work together, that women can't work together. Right. And almost 8 years later, here we stand.
A powerhouse, right?
Absolutely. We are, again, fierce advocates in our community. We are a resource and a voice.
Mm-hmm.
We established a 501c3 and a 501c4.
Okay.
So we have resources across the board focusing on education, the criminal justice system, okay. and mental health, as well as a legislative platform where we are going, you know, foot to pavement.
That's right.
On what's right and what's fair for our
men. So is this a national organization?
Absolutely.
And where are some of the places? I mean, I know, again, right, it's a national organization. Where are some of the places that you physically have sites or work?
So we have 9 chapters across the country.
Chapters, that's how they work. Mm-hmm. Okay.
We have a chapter right here in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, New York, Houston, Phoenix, Florida, Mississippi, California. I'm going to jack it up.
You got to get it right because they're listening now. It's 177,000 moms listening.
I don't have to get it right. If there's not a chapter in your area, start one.
Okay. What do you have to do? How do we start a chapter? How does someone start a chapter?
www.mobunited.org.
That's right. There you have it.
That's right.
So what does it mean to be the executive director? It sounds like you're moving around a lot.
I do a lot of moving around. I think about 30% of my time is in traveling.
Yeah.
Travel is my drug of choice, so, you know, it's
okay.
the fun part
so
of
this
the
works.
Job. Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. My job is soup to nuts. I handle all of the operational components of okay. the job, keep the organization running.
Mm-hmm.
Our 7th year mark, we reached the milestone of having a first-time paid executive director. So for the first 7 years, we actually operated on volunteer.
Wow.
On a volunteer basis.
Wow.
And so we didn't have anybody who was a paid employee.
We always say that budgets are value statements. So the fact that organizations and foundations have not chosen to support the work that you all do, I mean, 177,000 members, right? Like, the conditions that we know black boys are living with in this country, and it took 7 years to get enough money for a full-time director. That says a lot.
It does. It says a lot. we have been blessed in that we've received notoriety, we've received awards, we've received That's funding. Right. Beyond that, you know, we also were part of the George Floyd phenomena, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Where white guilt and black initiative
That's right.
led to us receiving some funding that led to my position being okay. a paid position.
Okay. Long-term sustainable funding?
No.
Generational funding?
No. No.
We're talking about limited 2-year grants.
Less than that. Limited 1-year grant.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So definitely looking for the supporters, definitely looking for individuals to continue to invest in us.
Yeah. Yeah, so let's talk about that, because we mm-hmm. have funders that are listening. We have listeners that claim like that they're serious about this mm-hmm. work. So let's be more specific. What does the money pay for? What is needed? What can someone do that's listening? I mean, you gave the website.
Mm-hmm. You can go to the website and donate at any time. You can become a regular monthly donor. You mm-hmm. can be a one-time donor. We are always receiving grant money. So if you know a grant that's mm-hmm. available to us in our lane, please let us know. If you know a foundation that's looking to support an organization like ours, let us know. In terms of your question on what it's funding,
yeah.
infrastructure for sure. Mm-hmm. But our programmatic, you know, we have several programs. We have an internship program.
Okay.
In 6 years, we have had 14 interns
nice.
That come in and they learn different facets of running a nonprofit organization. Mm-hmm. It could be policy, communication, social media, mm-hmm. depending on what the focus is mm-hmm. for that individual. Policy interns, we've had interns come in and work in health and wellness. I do a lot of one-to-one counseling for families,
okay.
as does our educational advocacy chair. Okay. You'll hear from her next month, Kamari Gafford Davis. We definitely are out in the community. We are supporting. Mm-hmm. We have supported 53 different initiatives for individuals who have lost their lives to gun violence mm-hmm. in some way. Mm-hmm. Whether that's vigilante killings or yeah. shootings by police officers. Mm-hmm. We've supported funeral expenses. We have nice. Gone to funerals. We have advocated on the Hill. We have supported bills and legislation
yeah.
that go forward. We have a huge mental health initiative, a huge cultural humility initiative.
Okay.
We are committed to dismantling the school-to-prison pipeline. So we work extensively in schools.
Yeah.
Just trying to make sure that we have fair treatment across the board. Mm. One of my babies and the thing that is super important to me is our GRACE campaign.
Grace. Okay.
We are about 13-14% of the population, but 60% of the population that is incarcerated.
Mm-hmm.
We know that our black men and boys are treated more harshly
That's right.
than their white counterparts.
Yeah.
And we want fair treatment across the board.
So
we
this is mothers asking for fair treatment.
This is moms asking for fair treatment
yeah.
for their children, but just to see them just as they are, for them to receive ages and stages,
That's right.
latitude, just yeah. like any other child,
yeah.
understanding.
Yeah.
When my son hits 14, he shouldn't be criminalized.
And that's what happens, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, a 5-year-old black boy is considered a 10-year-old.
My son, my 17-year-old son, had his first police contact at 9 and 47 pounds. The age of arrest in Texas is 10.
Wow.
The age of arrest in New York City is 7.
That's scary.
The cuffs don't even fit.
Wow. And you know, the question I was going to ask you is what keeps mothers of black boys up at night? But I think you're starting to talk about it already.
It does. It's the talk, right?
Yeah.
It's the talk. It is the helicopter. It's yeah. the siren. It's the knock at the door. It's the yeah. late night phone call. It's the missed curfew.
Mm-hmm.
It's the missed school bus.
It can go dark real quick, right?
It goes dark really quick.
Yeah. My first episode was The Talk, right? We had mm-hmm. At the time, a 16-year-old young man is here with his family. His mother and father were talking about it and how serious it is,
mm-hmm.
right, to have that talk. Can you revisit that with us?
It is the single most traumatic experience that one creates in their own home.
Say a little more for the listeners that didn't catch the first episode and don't know what The Talk is. Because many of our listeners haven't had to have it. So you say The Talk, and they're thinking the birds and the bees.
No. I wish it was the birds and the
yeah.
bees. I wish it was about
something
condoms
natural,
and
right?
Yeah, condoms and a banana, right? No,
yeah,
it's
yeah,
not
yeah.
that. It's certainly not that.
Because you can laugh during that talk.
Right. You can blush, you can laugh, but The Talk is really I want you to come home alive. Mm-hmm. And so no matter what it is that a police officer or, you know, a stand your ground citizen does, you are to behave in a specific way. If you are pulled over, your hands should be visible. Yeah. You should ask permission to move at all costs. You want to remain respectful no matter how disrespectful someone gets with you. It is, I'm afraid every day when you leave my house that you won't come back. And so these are the rules to you coming home every day.
Hopefully.
Right. And that's why I say it's the single most traumatizing event that you create in your own household, because I should not have to quote names like Tamir Rice and Jordan Edwards and George Floyd and Philando Castile as examples of what can happen even when you do comply.
Even when you do the right thing.
Yep. And they always say that. Stay respectful. Comply. Don't talk back. You know, say yes, sir. No, sir. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am.
Yeah.
And yet and still, we still have the hashtags.
Laying in your own bed.
In your own bed. In your own house.
Yeah. We were looking at some staggering statistics that said police shootings are the sixth leading cause of death of black men. And when I see those and I think of the pain that it creates for me, my mind doesn't automatically go to the moms. And that has to be possibly even more painful for you to hear.
There's just something about carrying a child in your body and birthing them and then burying them. When someone asks me my why, I always say because I didn't birth babies to bury them. That's my why.
Yeah. Mm. So how did you get here?
You want the long story or the short one?
I want the 2.5 minute story. Because we're about to take a break. Sum up your 35 years in 2.5 minutes, right?
35 years, you're so special.
Well, look, they know you're a black woman, so I can't tell. You're somewhere between 27 and 40, I don't know.
Okay. You know, I always say that, and we can finish this out after the break, but all of the events of my life led me to this point.
Mm-hmm.
All of my own traumas and all of my own drama led me to this place. I was a 16-year-old mother.
Mm-hmm.
First pregnant at 13 in Harlem, 15 when I got pregnant the second time. I was 7 months pregnant when her father was murdered in the streets of Harlem, lived in a homeless shelter, got an apartment at 17, had 3 children by the time I was 22, 4 children by 27, grandmother by 35.
Yeah.
And, you know, the story evolves from there.
Yeah.
The voice you hear now is not where I started,
but you earned it.
It is. It's certainly. I've come a long way.
Yeah, I can imagine.
But
so you've done some work.
Lots of work.
Lots of work.
Lots of work. Yeah.
Lots of work. So we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we want to hear about this journey. All right, and we want to hear about not only the lesson that you learned, but the message that you have for the little girl or little boy going through a similar journey.
Absolutely.
All right. You're listening to Let's Talk. This is Dr. Batts. We're here with Kimberly Alexander, and we will be right back.
For program support on WDIY, we thank ASAP Mailing of the Lehigh Valley, a locally owned and operated mailing and fulfillment company offering marketing and production solutions for your custom mail piece, taking your marketing project from idea to delivery, creating a program that meets your mailing, marketing, and fulfillment requirements. For more information, 484-285-0204 or ASAPmailing.com.
Welcome back to Let's Talk. This is Dr. Hassan Batts. We're in the studio with Kimberly Alexander, the executive director of Moms of Black Boys United. Kimberly, every time I talk to you, I learn something. I laugh, I smile, but my heart also breaks. Mm. You know, you have a huge job to do.
Mm-hmm.
And before we took the break, you were telling us, I asked you, how did we get here? And I want you to go back through that journey, right? That was like the quick elevator speech, but it was powerful.
Yeah, my therapist says I'm pretty disassociated, but
listen, I love how on this show people talk about their support for therapy. Shout out to all the therapists out there.
Absolutely.
And all the people that recognize that we need them.
Yes, yes. I'm a huge proponent of therapy, but my journey, I experienced everything that a child could experience as a child in my autonomy phase. As a result of my trauma, I was first pregnant at 13,
mm-hmm.
got pregnant again at 15. at 16, my daughter's father was murdered when I was 7 months pregnant.
Just those three events are a lifetime.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. And they feel a lifetime ago, mm-hmm. you know. So one thing that I would say to anyone who is there now,
yeah.
who's in the midst of the shame and the blame of teen pregnancy.
That feels like it's going to last forever.
Right. It feels like a lifetime ago, and it feels like a blip.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's part of my journey, mm-hmm. and it is part of my story.
That's right.
But it is not the single thing that anybody remembers me by.
That's right.
And if I had a message, it would be to give yourself grace and allow yourself healing and to talk to the person that's hurting inside of you.
Mm. To talk to the person that's hurting inside of you.
Absolutely. Because when you're looking for the apology or the parent or the resolution, sometimes you have to be your own savior.
That's right. And you got to do some work for that, though, right? You got to develop some skills. And I mean, especially at 13, you got to develop some skills and find some kind of support.
You do. You have to trust somebody.
Somebody. Yeah. Start by trusting yourself so you don't trust the wrong people.
Right. Start by trusting that you're telling yourself the truth.
Say more about that.
You know, we often live in a community or are exposed to situations where you're not believed or how you need someone to respond is not received.
That's right.
You start to second guess yourself.
Yeah.
Your truth is your truth and it's yours to work through. Your perception of the situation is the truth. And so start with believing you and then start with believing that you can be different, do different, and be better.
Yeah. Life or people can lead you to second guess yourself and doubt yourself and really think you're delusional at times. Is this really happening, right?
Is it really happening? But if those who love me don't protect me, then am I worthy?
Am I worthy? Yeah. We often ask the question to people, when did you first learn that you were lovable? And when did you first learn that you were unlovable?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the answers are the same, like who taught you that? But the answers are powerful. Right? We learn so young we're unlovable.
Yeah. And I've been asked that question several times. And my answer is always, as a teenager, I did not feel lovable. I didn't feel pretty. I felt usable.
Usable is like disposable, so to speak.
Disposable and a resource for others, yeah. but not myself.
Yeah. And okay, so you stopped at 17 with the story, right? Mm-hmm. So the journey, something happened or someone showed up or you read a book or lots of therapy for you to be the person that's standing before us. I don't say that to minimize it by any means.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. I think there has always been something that's innate in me.
Of course.
And I had church family and I had teachers and there were people who saw promise in me that were able to see me beyond the hurt, which was anger.
That's right.
The fear, which was anger.
That's right.
The pain, which was anger.
Yeah. It's a theme.
It's absolutely a theme. Absolutely a theme. You can't hurt me if you can't touch me.
No, that's why we build those walls, right?
Yeah, you can't hurt me if you can't touch me. Yeah. You know, and so it was a process. It was a huge process. It did require a lot of therapy on my part. But it also was a lot of me wanting to be better for the children that I brought into this world. And I don't always get it right. I wasn't the perfect mother by no means, but I knew what I didn't want to be.
Yeah, yeah. So it sounds like you were striving.
Yeah. Yeah. I had a keen ability to get up every day and start over.
Yeah, we study this concept that of failing forward. I think you and I may have talked about that. That always amazes me. And that's what you're saying. In parenting, you got to fail forward. You got to try and get up tomorrow and try again. Like, we're figuring this thing out, right?
Yep, absolutely.
One of my prior guests, Kenyatta, said our parents are living life. This is their first life.
Mm.
It's their first time living this thing, man. This is our first time as parents, and at some point we have to forgive our parents, and we're going to have to ask our children to forgive us.
Yep. And then you have to forgive yourself.
How did I forget that, right?
Yeah, and then you got to forgive yourself.
That's the hard part. That's the important one.
Yeah, you got to forgive yourself, because you will get stuck in a rut if you continue to beat up on yourself.
So where do you start? It's easy for us to sit on this side of the hole and say that. The person that's in the hole, mm-hmm. where do they begin?
1 foot in front of the other.
One day at a time.
One thing at a time. One moment at a time. The apple is not eaten all at once.
Mm-hmm.
You got to take a bite at a time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Pick one thing and go from there.
Just work on it. And be patient.
Yep.
Yeah. It's not easy when the world is punching on you.
Mm-hmm.
Man.
It's not. I was talking to the gentleman who picked me up from the airport today, and we are the only population of people here in America that has the world, our world, punching on us, and yet we are asked to strive and achieve.
Yeah, yeah.
There's not another population of people in America that experiences that.
Yeah, we work with youth that are wrestling with community violence, that mm-hmm. are wrestling with disruption in their home, that are wrestling with even some cognitive things, right? And they're expected to perform at the same level
mm-hmm.
of youth that are from affluent neighborhoods, man. Mm-hmm. Like, these standardized tests. And it's like, you're right, that expectation wouldn't be on anyone else.
Right.
So some of your work is advocacy.
Mm-hmm.
Some of your work is healing.
Mm-hmm.
Some of your work is organizing.
Mm-hmm.
Where do we begin on a hyper-local level? Or as a mom, let's go to moms.
Mm-hmm.
Where does a mom begin? She's a mother of a black boy.
Mm-hmm.
She's terrified. She loves her baby because there's lots of joy. I have two black sons.
Mm-hmm.
I have shout out to Justice, who's 26, and shout out to Hassan, who's 1 and a half. And you think I'm crazy for having a 1 and a half,
ooh,
you know?
Baby.
Right? Love and adore both of them, but I get scared, and their mothers are terrified mm-hmm. every day.
Mm-hmm.
Where do they begin? And that's the question that my wife Katara had for you. She says, what can she do? Where does she start?
Learning. Every system that is going to come in contact with your child, learn it.
Mm.
Pediatrician, learn it. Ages and stages, learn it.
Mm-hmm.
Vaccinations, learn it. Food, learn it.
Mm-hmm.
Education, learn it. Head Start, learn it.
Yeah.
OT, PTST, occupational therapy, yeah, physical therapy, yeah, speech therapy, learn it.
So essentially you're saying don't trust these systems to raise your children.
Mm-mm.
Equip yourself. Educate yourself.
Educate yourself. Question all things.
You are that child's
mother. There is
mother.
Nobody that's a bigger authority in your child's life than you. I don't care what the educational and letters behind the name is.
Hey.
Nobody.
Hey.
So that's where you start. You start with learning everything you need to know to make sure that when someone is talking to you, they are telling you the whole story, the true story, And they are giving your child a fair chance.
So when they want to put those silver caps at the dentist's office in your son's mouth, and you see those other kids don't have silver caps.
Learn it.
Learn your options. Mm. Learn the consequences. Bigger than that,
when they want to papoose, when they want to wrap your kid up because they said, oh, they're going to move around too much when we clean their teeth, learn it. That's trauma.
Yeah.
That's trauma.
Yeah.
They used to try to do that to my kid. I said, uh-uh. They'll be still.
Let them move.
They'll be still. And if you want to be a pediatric dentist, I'm going to need you to learn how to deal with them.
That's right. Learn it. Learn the systems.
Learn it.
That are going to impact your child's life. Now, that sounds exhausting. That sounds unfair.
It is. It absolutely is.
It sounds excessive. So now I got to get a PhD in education just to send my child to the school system that I pay taxes to teach him.
Yep.
And your response is, it is.
That is.
It's a must have.
It's a must. Okay. You have to learn as much as you can about every system that's going to come in contact with your child. The school-to-prison pipeline is real.
It's real. And if you're going to send them to the park, you need to understand.
Yeah. The consequences of playing with a dog and the police pop up or talking to the wrong kid. Learn it.
Learn it.
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about the other side of it. Black joy.
Mm.
You smiled. As a mother of a black boy, let's talk about black joy. What do you love about your black boys?
Ugh.
And what do you advise through all of that exhausting work that we mm-hmm. talked about? How does a mother enjoy her son still?
Don't adultify them.
So don't do what the system's doing. Don't adultify.
Nope.
So even though you have to step out and bear this stress and this mm-hmm. burden, let them be children.
let them be children for as long as they can be, no matter how much mustache or beard or height they have, or how long their feet are, or how much complaining you're doing about how many pairs of jeans you have to buy.
Or how much juice they drinking.
Don't even get me started on that. I was hollering about that yesterday.
The food bills are outrageous, right? You get, crazy. And then all the friends come. You get 4 or 5 of them up in there. The food bills.
Listen, you have to find time to just be with your children.
Yeah.
Learn what they enjoy. Expose them to different things. I'm a huge proponent of travel in some way, shape, form, or fashion, even if it's just a car ride.
That's right.
To someplace different.
That's right.
Let your sons know that their life is not a 4-block radius.
That's right. Got to get off the block.
Yeah. Let them know that there's another world out there.
Yeah.
I used to do book reports with my kids outside of school, movie reports.
That's right.
Things that were reflective of who they are. Let them see greatness in other Black people.
That's it.
Let them see that this is not where we started. We didn't start like this. We didn't start with a continent that had dividers and borders.
Mm.
We didn't start with, you know, Black being a sin or a crime. We didn't start there. We are joy.
We are joy.
Yeah, like it's not Black boy joy. It's not Black girl joy. We are joy.
We are joy. And that's the way your face lit up when I said it. Like, this is me.
Right, because when you visit the continent and you see tribal living and you see generations of people together harmoniously, and you see how they're interacting, but we're here in America saying, when my kid is 18, they gotta go.
Yeah.
No, they don't. Why would you do that?
Yeah.
I wasn't grown at 18. I lived on my own, but I wasn't grown.
But you weren't. Yeah, you had to.
You know, so we have to debunk the myth that we have to be a certain kind of parent to our children.
Mm-hmm.
We have to give grace at home, right? We have to do the hard stuff. We have to hold them accountable. We have to do the discipline. But we need to provide grace as well.
That's right. I had a friend who said, we don't punch on our sons. The world's going to punch on them.
That's right.
And the world, it's guaranteed the world is going to punch on them.
Yep.
So you don't got to beat on them.
You don't have to. You don't have to.
Wow. Kimberly, it was a pleasure having you.
Thank you.
As always, thank you. You hopped on a plane and almost a train to come see us, man.
That's right.
I appreciate that. We are people of call and response, man. And I made the invitation and you showed up. I wanted our listeners to meet you, to learn more about you and your work. You gave them the website. And any other ways that they need to know to contact you if they need anything?
Special needs at mobunited.org, www.mobunited.org. We are Mob United on all social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, whatever Twitter is now.
X,
Twicker. I said I don't Twicker, but Mob United Twickers. So check it out.
Yeah. Please do, right? And learn some things, right?
Absolutely. Learn some things, get involved. And I'm very serious. If there's not a chapter in your area and you're down to start a chapter, we are a national coalition of mothers who show up. We will show up for you the same way you show up for us.
Mm.
And we will show up for the masses. So please join us.
Please join us. Kimberly, thank you for that. And what I'm hearing is you are not alone.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. You know, one thing we didn't talk about when my son was 16, he had a mental health crisis. And I had the displeasure on my own property of standing in between him and a police officer's gun 3 times. And it was people like Kamari and the other sisters in Mob United who supported me through those 3 hospitalizations, but also me physically putting my body between him and a pistol.
You said you will not have this one.
Not that one.
You're not going to take this one.
Nope. So we show up for real.
I appreciate you. Keep doing what you're doing. This is Dr. Batts. You're listening to Let's Talk. We're here with Kimberly Alexander, just a phenomenal woman. And I have to say, I'm here today because of strong Black women.
Amen.
Strong Black moms. Yes. Right?
That's right.
So appreciate you and all that you are. Be well.
Thank you.
Peace.
If you enjoyed this program, please go to wdiy.org or the WDIY app to share or become a WDIY member.